scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. Colossians 2, 6 through 23. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt and stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festive or new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on esotism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, putting up without reasons by his senseless mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirit of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to the regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh.
Good morning, brethren and friends. I'm sure with that latter part of that text that was just read there, you probably know where this lesson is going with respect to the season. But we'll be talking about what is Christmas to the New Testament Christian. What is Christmas to the New Testament Christian? We're going to be discussing when the true child of God in the New Testament should celebrate Christ. What authority do we have in the New Testament to celebrate Christ? How does it happen? When does it happen? What should be celebrated about Him? And of course, all of this will be coming from the Scriptures rather than from the doctrines of men and the teachings of men, as you just read there in the latter part of Colossians chapter 2. Remember with me that Christmas is a traditional holiday. It's a traditional holiday, and what it means to the Christian living for Christ in the New Testament is really nothing mattering as far as the New Testament. As you look through the New Testament Scriptures, you'll notice that you don't find the word Christmas anywhere in it. You don't find the festival, the feast, the tradition, the season of Christmas anywhere within the New Testament. What you do find is the first day of the week in which the disciples of Christ would come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When they would perform, or they would do the acts of worship, they would worship God in those times on Sundays, on the first days of the week. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I'll put this clarification forth before we continue in this lesson. There's nothing wrong with observing Christmas or observing this season and celebrating it in the secular way. Just as so long it doesn't come in front of God or against living for God within the New Testament law, or just as long as well as we don't celebrate it in the religious way. Because remember with me again that while the rest of the world and most of the religious world celebrates Christmas in the sense of You know, Jesus was born, which certainly is a thing to be celebrated. What I'm talking about is that Christmas is a literal day that was set up by the Roman Catholic Church, by Pope. If you read there in your articles, I did put it in there as well. Pope Lucius the First, I believe. But we'll get to that later. But it was created by the Roman Catholic Church. So it wasn't created by inspired Scripture. It wasn't created by the New Testament Scripture. It wasn't inspired of by the Holy Spirit. It's not a day or a feast or a holy day like Sunday is, like the first day of the week in which we are now assembled to worship God on, just as the first century church was. In these acts of worship, we even remember Jesus' body and His blood that were hung and His blood shed on the cross for our sins. So while the rest of the world takes one day out of the year to come to church, we as Christians come every first day of the week to church services to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is authorized by the New Testament Scriptures. Why is that so important? Because no tradition of man has any bearing on divine authority that God has set up. Well, there's nothing wrong, once again, to celebrate in a secular way. Have food together with your family. Give gifts to one another. Have great family time. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about, again, is a religious festival, a religious type aspect to it that basically was set up by a pope of the Roman Catholic Church, in which he said that this should now be celebrated on, you know, as a religious day, as a time whenever we remember Christ as a literal authorized day, even by New Testament law. And that's not authorized by the New Testament Scripture. That's the problem. And so you can celebrate it just as you can celebrate Easter in a secular way, you know, apart from religion. You can celebrate any of these things in such a way, you know, as good fun. You know, even as you would watch a movie or go out to eat, it's just another thing to do, even with your family. But there's nothing wrong with that for the Christian, but if you put it in front of God or make it in a religious way, there's no authorization in the New Testament. That's what we need to come to realize. That's what we're talking about today. So understand, I have no problem with Christmas. I have no problem with any of it, and we shouldn't, as far as the secular manner. But remember that it came from roots, really even from Catholicism and paganism. If we try to worship it in a religious manner, it's just not appropriate for the New Testament Christian. So that's what we'll be talking about today. The history of the tradition of Christmas compared to the history of the Bible, the history of the New Testament. The Christmas holiday, how did it come to be? Remember that a holiday is defined in Webster's dictionary and really any dictionary as a holy day. You can see the word parts there, holy day, holiday. And so therefore, when someone says the Christmas holiday, they're saying Christmas holy day. The Israelites, the Jews, they had holy days. If you remember back with me in the Old Testament, they had the Passover, they had the Sabbath, etc. They had many different types of feasts that were sanctioned by God. However, we have a specific day in the New Testament, and it's just one that was sanctioned by God. We even have a feast today in the New Testament. What is it? The Lord's Supper. We have communion, which is really to remember Christ's body and blood that was hung and shed on the cross for our sins. We partake of it. We participate in it in a religious manner because it was written religiously by God. That's why we do it. Not because some pope or some tradition came about, you know, 300, 400 years later after Christ was even on the earth, and some pope said to start treating this day specifically as a holiday. And remember as well that Jesus, his date of birth, is not known. You can look in history books, you can look in any type of secular worldly knowledge, you cannot find the actual true date of Jesus Christ's birth. There are presumptions as to when he was born. There are guesses as to when he was born. Was Jesus actually born on the day of Christmas? Nobody actually knows. The main problem, though, once again, is that people are making one day out of the year to be the day of worship, and or they're making Jesus Christ's birth really the only thing to be concerned about, forgetting that there was a purpose to come to this world for Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried in the grave, to raise again, resurrecting from the dead so we can have our sins washed away, so that we can also raise from the watery grave of baptism, likewise in the same manner, putting off the old man. Jesus did all of that for us, yet they only remember his birth one day of the year. And we, brethren, remember in the New Testament, Jesus' birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday of every single week. And so we need to remember that It's a traditional holiday. It's a traditional day that was set up by people of the world, by the religious world, that are not really of the true Church of Christ. People that decided that it would be a holy day. It was not set up by God. That's the problem. That's the issue. It cannot be called holy because God did not set it up as a holy day. And so the only reason it's called a holy day is because a pope came along, of the 100 popes that there were, he came along and he said that there would be a day in which we would celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and this would be the day. That pope also did not know the date of Jesus Christ's birth. He didn't know, his affiliates didn't know, nobody knew even back in that day when Jesus was born. Exactly. And so that day has been lost to history, but it's not even commanded in the New Testament or observed to remember that as a day every single year. If it was, brethren, then we would do it religiously, just as we, on Sunday, come together and once again remember Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection. But that's not a command. That's not something the first century church observed. So that's the reason why we don't do it and why it should not be called a holy day, or a day in which we should count as by having been given by authority from God. Remember with me as well that popes, they do claim that they have religious authority from God. They claim that they almost sit, some of them claim that they almost sit on the same level as Jesus Christ, that they almost sit on the same level even as God, and they can speak for Him, and whatever they say goes. Some popes throughout history have chosen to burn Bibles. Some popes throughout history have chosen to persecute Protestants, and in the sense that they would execute them for their faith. Some popes throughout history have done many other things, legalized or tried to legalize homosexuality, and do many other things that are just simply contradictory to the New Testament scriptures. So why listen to a man as far as religious authority or religious feast or religious day when we should be listening to the New Testament scriptures? That's why we just read the scripture that we did. The Christmas day as well as the Easter day were both invented by the Roman Catholics. And what's interesting about it is they drew roots from paganism. From even Scandinavia, they drew roots from the northern parts of Europe, and they got Christmas from those different places. There was a specific type day that we'll get to be talking about later that they would celebrate. It has an interesting name. But they would draw these roots from paganism, from pagan gods, even coming from predominantly pagan locations in Europe, like Scandinavia, during the 300 ADs and 400 ADs. Now, that one from earlier, the Pope who set up Christmas, his name is Pope Julius I of the Roman Catholic Church. He chose December 25th to be the day of Jesus' birth, regardless of the lack of biblical dating, and therefore also wanted it to be the day of celebration for Jesus' birth. So just like the Passover was set up, just like the Sabbath day was set up, just like the feast days in the Old Testament were set up, he wanted it to be a day in which, in the New Testament, in which we come together and we celebrate Jesus Christ. And he set it by religious authority. That's the issue. The Pope was not inspired. The Pope today is not inspired of Jesus Christ. He's not inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the issue. It's not a religiously given, authorized holiday or holy day. And so we should not worship it in such a way. It's not in the Bible. That's the problem. It's by an idea of man. It's also commonly believed that the Catholic Church chose this day in an effort to adopt and absorb the traditions of the pagan festival called Saturnalia. Saturnalia, Saturnalia. You can look at all of this in history books. Not in Bible history, but in history books. So your own secular, our own secular history books, you can look at all of this and know they all agree on these things. These were derived from pagan holidays and from pagan days in which they would worship their idols. That's even, where all the different figures or different things in the season come from. So it was also known as the Feast of Nativity. Now, this custom would spread to Egypt and to much more of Europe by the 16th century and now really has spread all over the world in a religious manner. Once again, there's nothing wrong with observing it secularly in the sense of coming together with family, giving gifts, and all of that. But it's the religious part is the problem as a specific day, of it being a holy day. It wasn't written in Scripture, so it should not be certainly observed as Scripture. Here in the United States, it's observed more so in the secular way, but you'll see many you know, restaurants and many different places all over this country that set up the nativity scene. They set up the, you know, Jesus being born, all of that, and that's what Christmas is about. But that really shows you that they're still worshiping in the religious manner. But more people than not really just want to do it for opening presents and giving presents, is really the truth of it. But it did come from the mind of a man who was a pope of the Catholic Church. If you go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8, Luke chapter 2, we'll now look at the history of the Bible concerning celebrating Jesus Christ. Luke 2, 8 through 21. You want to know the history of the Scriptures, or the history of how Jesus really came about, and you know, what's to celebrate. It was in the moment in which He was born. It was in the moments and really reading that the fact that He was born at all, the Savior of the world, that was a thing to be celebrated in the days that it happened. And really, that we can read it right now. We can celebrate it upon reading it. Luke 8, 2, 8 through 21. It says there, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." Last verse, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." If you go over to Luke 1 in verse 26, surely it was a thing to be celebrated, Jesus being born in the days that happened, even by these different ones here, even by the angels as well. You'll see in Luke 1, 26 to 38, "They would testify to mankind to rejoice, for Christ, the seed of David, had come, the Savior of the world." And I'll let you read that in your own time. Certainly these are large, rather large sections of text. "Even wise men would come bearing gifts for the Messiah when he was born," Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11. So this was celebrated properly whenever it happened. But there's no sanction, there's no sanctified day in which God set up to only celebrate Jesus' birth. If God wanted that to happen, why didn't He tell us? Why didn't He command it? That's the issue. God didn't command it. Jesus didn't example it with His disciples. Yet people do it today as a religious manner and in a religious holiday type way. That's the issue. That is outside of the Scriptures. That is a religious authority and a religious instruction outside of the Bible. That's the problem with really celebrating Christmas in a holy or a religious type manner. It's not in the Scriptures. And it's outside of the Scriptures. And any religion, I say religion with a strong emphasis, outside of the Scriptures, is not proper for a New Testament Christian to be worshiping, or a New Testament Christian to be living after, or living according to. The ideas of man are not what we should be living to on a religious basis. But truly, the main reason for celebrating God coming in the flesh and living the life of a man can't come without the main purpose for God having sent Jesus to do that. The reason behind Jesus' birth, this is the part that people forget. Whenever they come together for Christmas to only celebrate His birth, the one-timers who only come one time a year to celebrate Jesus' birth, they forget His death, burial, and resurrection. Why did Jesus come to the earth at all? He came for a purpose. He didn't just come to be born, eat, drink, and be merry. He came for a purpose. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to pay the price that we could not pay, to pay the price for our sins. But people forget that. People forget the most important part of the reason behind why Jesus even came to this earth. Why didn't they set up a day as far as that goes? Well, they probably couldn't, because there's already a day as far as that goes. It's Sunday, every first day of the week, in which most people also don't want to even come to church services on Sunday. And so they come once a year. You see the selfishness of mankind in all of, in many of these things. But this day, the Sunday day, truly is a holy day. Why? Because it is decreed by the New Testament and exampled in the New Testament to be the day of worship and remembrance of Jesus and God for the Christian living within the New Testament. Luke 24, verses 1 through 7, if you remember with me, we just had a series of lessons on Jesus and His sacrifice for mankind. Luke 23 and verse 56, you can read that the Sabbath day was prior to the day that's following in Luke 24 and verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week. So the verse right before in the previous chapter said Sabbath. And the verse right after in the next chapter says the first day of the week. There is no doubt that it has to be Sunday. Sabbath is Saturday for the Jews. Sunday is the day immediately after, contextually, in that context. You go to the other gospel accounts, you will find the same thing in the other three. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all together on the 3 days that Jesus died, when He was in the grave, even on Saturday, and then whenever He was resurrected on the third day, Sunday, the first day of the week. They had the same calendar with a little bit of difference in the time manner, but they had the same, really almost the same calendar as far as that goes. It was Sunday to them as well. Acts 20 and verse 7, if you turn there with me. Excuse me. Acts 20 and verse 7. says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Notice the language there is he's saying it like they always do this. This is what the first century church regularly does. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, this is something they regularly do. They break bread, they take of the fruit of the vine, they do the acts of worship, they listen and study God's Word. They do that on the first day of the week. Sunday, the same day, interesting enough, the first day of the week, same day as when Jesus was resurrected. There's a purpose to that. There's a reason behind Sunday. There's a reason behind it being on that day specifically. It's not just because, you know, some random wording in the New Testament. There's purpose behind it. There's meaning. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2 says the same thing on the first day of the week when they came together to take up a collection. Why did they do that on the first day of the week specifically? Because once again, the significance behind it being the Lord's Day, Jesus Christ's day of resurrection, when He came from the grave. If you look back as well in traditional Christian history, and what I mean by that is as far as the church fathers. Now, the church fathers, there are many of them that maybe were faithful, some of them that positively were faithful. And we just don't know for sure as far as some of them go. But they're called this, church fathers, because they lived as at least quote-unquote Christians in times close to the first century when the church was in its beginning, hundreds of years. Some of them were preachers, writers, history, record keepers, etc. Ignatius, Tertullian, Justin Martyr, there were many others. Their faiths are debated on, once again, not known for sure. But here's the point. The statements that they made, really, about the Lord's Day. Ignatius in the early second century wrote, no longer observing the Sabbath, as the Jews did, but living in the observance of the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day being what? The Lord's Day being Jesus Christ's Day. The day on which we come together and we even remember Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. And we worship God, and we worship God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the significance of Sunday as the day of worship for the New Testament Christian? You can find the Lord's Day exact wording in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when you look at the instruction for communion. But the significance of Sunday as the day of worship is Jesus' death on the cross, a Friday, His burial, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. He was in the grave how many days? 3 days. And so He died on Friday. We went through this in the series. If you look through the Scriptures contextually, you can find this easily. They prepared for the Sabbath on Friday. That's the day that Jesus even died. They had the Sabbath on Saturday. Then they had Then they noticed on the first day of the week that the stone of the tomb was rolled back. And that's when Jesus was resurrected. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, until He resurrected. Then His resurrection was on Sunday, the first day of the week. The significance is the fact that the Word of God indicates that the first century church met on this day specifically and regularly to partake of the bread that remembers Jesus' body and even hear a message of God's word as Paul was preaching to them until midnight in Acts 20 and verse 7. And even on the taking up a collection for God on the first day of the week, as we just saw there in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. So you see these acts of worship were taking place according to the Scriptures on the same day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, having conquered death and given the ability for our sins to be washed away through Him. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The instructions and examples given concerning the acts of worship are seen many times throughout the New Testament Scriptures. The key is to see all of the Scriptures together rather than separate. But the purpose, once again, for Jesus even coming at all, you know, it had a meaning. It had a reason behind Jesus even being born. We'll read that now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that's a celebratory message. Who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So celebrate that Jesus Christ came and paid the price that we could not. Came and paid the price for our sins. Celebrate that every first day of the week as other Scriptures indicate. Not as a man ideas to celebrate one time a year, but celebrate every first day of the week. Celebrate Jesus Christ's life, His birth, His death, burial, and resurrection every first day of the week. Be happy about, celebrate that on a specific holy day that we have been given and sanctioned in the Bible as Sunday. But don't try to make another day and try to add something to the Scriptures that's not there religiously. The Scriptures, once again, they indicate how to observe the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. They also indicate on what day the Church of Christ assembled together to remember the Lord's Supper. We just read there in Acts 20 and verse 7. And then Luke 24 and verse 1 is the meaning. The same day in which Christ resurrected. What do? We put both of the Scriptures together. We don't read one verse over here, and or maybe make one idea over here, and then just forget the rest of the Scriptures. We take that the church came together on the first day of the week, and then we take the instructions for how they were supposed to remember the Lord's Supper, they were supposed to do the Lord's Supper, on how they were supposed to do singing to God, on how they were supposed to do prayer. We take all these things and we put them together because we're under the entirety of the New Testament, not just one single verse. So when you read the Bible, keep things in context, lest it be a pretext to error. Always read the Bible in context and read the Bible in its entirety to understand what is being said. If you read one page of a book, you will not understand what's going on the rest of the book. I was not a book reader before. I started getting into reading these really neat books on fantasy. They're called Warhammer. I love Warhammer, if anybody here knows what it is. But if I read one page of that book, or Lord of the Rings, or whatever, and I don't read the rest of the book, how am I supposed to know what goes on in the rest of the book, or if there's anything else that's important for me to know? Well, I can't know if I only read one page of that book, or 5 pages, or 10 pages, when there's 100 pages. No, I have to read the entire book to be able to understand what I need to know for that story. And so why is that not the case with the Bible? Why do people take one single verse and then forget the rest of the pages of the book? There is an entire series here of religious knowledge that we can pick up. Yet people choose to pick up knowledge for religious things from men rather than God. Why do people choose this? No doubt selfishness. No doubt because they don't want the ideas of God. They don't want the words of God. They want the ideas of men. Many other conclusions we could draw from that. But the holiday, once again, the holy day that's sanctified by the Scriptures in the New Testament, is Sunday, the day on which we celebrate Jesus Christ as our Lord and obey His Word. Jesus paid the price we could not pay. In 1 John 2, verses 1 through 6, and we're almost finished here, 1 John 2, 1 through 6, He is the propitiation, and that is atonement for our sins, and the advocate before us, before God the Father in heaven. In order to know Him, we must follow His commandments and follow worshiping Him and God on the true holy day of the New Testament, that is every Sunday of every week. Is this saying that we can't worship God in acts of worship on other days of the week? Is this saying we can't read our Bibles on other days of the week or study God's Word? No. Throughout the epistles, they were worshiping God, they were studying God's Word, they were Paul was going even through the Sanhedrins. He was going through the synagogues. He was going through different places. The apostles, the disciples were going through different places, preaching and teaching God's Word. So there's nothing wrong with observing a worship service on any other day of the week that is sanctioned by God. What's the difference from Christmas? It was not sanctioned by God. Prayer, singing, study of God's Word, Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is specifically on the first day of the week. We know that because of Acts 20 and verse 7. Collection is specifically on the first day of the week. We know that because of Acts 20 and verse, or 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. The other three, prayer, singing, and study of God's Word, are not because they were not specified. You see them on other days happening throughout the Scriptures. You see, the basis every time we draw back to is the New Testament Scriptures, not ideas of man. So why do we not celebrate Christmas religiously as the true Church of Christ? Because it's not in the New Testament Scriptures. We are the New Testament Church. We should abide by what the New Testament says, not upon what it does not say. That's the importance of it. 1 John 2, 1 through 6, if you read it with me again. My little children, these things I write to you, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know Him, and if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He, that is Jesus, walked. So followers of the New Testament should be followers of the New Testament, not followers of pagan holidays or Catholic holidays or something that a man ideated. They should always be followers only of the New Testament or religiously. If you're going to follow a book religiously, you don't make another book to follow upon that. If you're going to follow anything religiously, you follow that thing religiously and you don't follow other, because you can't have this God over here, this God over here, and this God over here. You see, there's conflictions between all of them. They all want you to do this or that. You can't even follow pagan gods, many others together. Even in Hinduism, they really have to select specific amounts of gods instead of following all of them together. They have to choose some gods to worship at this time, some to worship at this time. They'll have different types of things. And so that's the problem. You don't add to religious things. You just don't. You don't take away from religious things because you're trying to follow something already. You can't follow all these other things at the same time. Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 23, though follow Christ's law and example alone in order to be pleasing and acceptable to God, not the ideas and the traditions of men. Brethren, friends, we do not just celebrate Jesus' birth once a year as Christians. We do not celebrate a Roman Catholic holiday, holy day. We do not celebrate a pagan holiday. We celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, all of it included, the Scriptures, all of it included, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, every single week. Amen?
Amen.
Every single week we celebrate Jesus Christ in His entirety, every first day of the week. Not once a year. So for everybody who decides to show up to the Catholic or the Baptist or the whatever, once a year for Jesus' birth, why? Why do they forget the purpose and the reason behind Jesus' birth? Why do they forget the reason that He even came at all, and they forget what was sanctioned in the New Testament Scriptures, that it was for dying on the cross for our sins and paying the price of sin that we as men and women could not pay. We need to remember the Scriptures, what they say. Once again, there is nothing wrong with observing, and I say that word particularly, observing Christmas in a secular manner. There is nothing wrong with that. Giving gifts, coming together as physical families, as whatever, coming together, doing that. There's nothing wrong with going out to eat. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie together. Nothing wrong with it. Going out with your friends. That's fine. But when you take it as a religious day that God apparently said, that's the issue, because He didn't say it. That's the problem. New Testament Christians follow the New Testament. not the Old Testament, not a creed, not an idea of a pope, not anything else. Follow the New Testament. That's very simple to understand. If you simply obey God and His Word, you will not find yourself following traditions of man religiously. And that's the problem, once again, following traditions of man religiously. So what is Christmas to the Christian? Nothing religious. Nothing religious. That's what Christmas is to the Christian. If there's any need among us this morning, if anyone has prayers that they have need of for yourself or for maybe a family member or for anybody else, we would invite you, as we're about to have our invitation song, and please let us pray with you. Let us take care of you in this way. Let your request be made known. If you're not a Christian today, we pray and we hope that you would accept Jesus Christ's invitation, that you would become a Christian. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins today and turn from the former life of sin and enter into a new life, being a new creature with Christ, if you're interested in that, if you want to be that, if you want to become a Christian, why do you wait? Today is the day of salvation, as the New Testament scriptures say. After repenting, you must confess Jesus is the Christ before men. You can do that even today. Confess He is the Christ before this congregation. Be baptized into water for remission of your sins and to be added to the Lord's church, as Acts chapter 2 even indicates. If you're ready to do these things today and you remain faithful in the death and you do everything that this Word says and you follow Jesus' commandments, God's commandments, God the Holy Spirit's commandments, if you follow God's Word rather than man's word, you are not a liar. You are not going to be guilty of sin. You're not going to be going to the place of hell. You'll be going to the place of heaven. You should have no doubt about that. If you do, there might be a problem in your life, once again, Christians or non-Christians. Whatever you have need of, I would invite you at this time, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing to God together.
Did you get the machine back there? Number 752.